Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network. Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle!
Ahead. Week number 14 is underway. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel getting you prepared for week number 14. A lot of news and notes to get to, along with the big game in Minnesota tonight. Big Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers, 3-point underdogs to the Minnesota Vikings. Dalvin Cook, questionable, but most likely will play in this ball game. Scott, in L.A., they take on the New York Giants this weekend. We know about Keenan Allen put on the COVID list. Now Mike Williams has joined him. He is a day-to-day decision for that ball game. Line open up at L.A., a 10.5-point favorite. Now we're starting to see some movement on the road team. New York Giants down to 9.5 this coming weekend. And then I did want to bring up this factor. Green Bay Bears, right? Big battle within the division. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers stepped up in last time in Soldier Field. They were basically a 5.5, 6-point favorite. Won that ball game by 24-14, a 10-point win and cover. Now they get the Bears at home, and if you remember at the end of that ball game, Aaron Rodgers came out and said, "I own the Bears, baby." Well, now they're laying 11.5 points in the Sunday night matchup. Is there any shot that Matt Nagy, Andy Dalton, can cover this number?
No. And it might be Justin Fields as well. So, you know, because he is back now, so you may get some field stuff. No, he does own him. You know, I mean, like the Bears can get all upset and ticked off and have all the bulletin board material in the world. The bottom line is Aaron Rodgers, 23-4 versus Chicago. And this one is at home. So I think that the Bears at 4-8 this year, out of all the years, would upset the apple cart. Nah, not happening. Give me the Packers, absolutely.
Yeah, now total is set at 43, and we talked that potentially it could be cold weather in Lambeau. Maybe it's an under 38 points in the first meeting. We know how Matt Nagy loves to attach his cart in terms of play calling to David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, and the rushing attack no matter what the score. They could be up by 3 points with a fourth and 10, and he still wants to run the football. Same thing if they're down by 20. He wants to pound it on each and every play. That's his run-first mentality. I sort of lean to the under here, but we'll see how it plays out. For bettors, is there any value in terms of taking Chicago as a flyer at plus 480 on the money line? I mean, it basically is a divisional game. You have nothing to lose. You should go all out on a Sunday night matchup. Last time you played last year, you got absolutely abused. Any value on the plus 480 money line for the Bears, even though Rodgers owns them?
I don't think so. I gave a shot to the Bears last week, Joe, so I'm a little burnt on them. You know, I thought maybe, just maybe, at home against Arizona. I was hoping you were going to get Colt McCoy, but I said, even if you don't, you know, it's cold weather site, and they're coming off the Thanksgiving Day win. Maybe they got a little mojo going, and they laid an egg against Arizona. Nah, I'm done with the Bears. Their defense, you know, listen, they got a couple of nice wins, but for the most part, they've been a major disappointment. Like I said, you might get Fields back in there. That could provide a spark, but... You know, Aaron Rodgers is not. See, I put certain teams into that category, and there aren't many, but I'm putting Green Bay into that category of just, I don't care where they're playing, why they're playing, what the line is. He's not losing to the Chicago Bears. He just doesn't, and he's not losing to Andy Dalton and or Justin Fields. Not when they're in the thick of a playoff chase. Don't forget, they had the head-to-head tiebreaker over Arizona, so they're really only a half a game back of the number one seed. They're not going to screw up on a Sunday night nationally TV. Nah, I'd stay away.
All right, we'll see how that game plays out. It is the late night game for week number 14. Let's turn our attention to the game tonight. Minnesota, Dalvin Cook does return. Their backs are against the wall. They get blown out. I allowed 29 points to Jared Goff. Amazing in terms of blown out. 7.5-point favorites. You lose by 2. I mean, that was a terrible performance by Zimmer and the crew. Now they get Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers flying high after the 1-point win over Lamar Jackson. Minnesota's dead to me. They are dead to me. I'm not taking them the rest of the way. I know a lot of people are on them, but give me the Steelers. Like them plus the 3. I even like them plus the 148 on the money line. Bottom line, Tomlin wins, Zimmer blows games. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, so you feel about the Vikings how I feel about the Bears. And I get it. You know, they're a strange team. Same thing, you know, with the Bears. They got a couple of nice wins and a couple of close losses. You know, they nearly beat Arizona. The kid makes a field goal, right? But then they lose to the Detroit Lions. I mean, go figure. They're only 3-2 at home. But Pittsburgh's no great shakes on the road, 2-3. It is tough. You know, I love Mike Zimmer, and I know you don't like his I like Mike Tomlin. I don't have anything against Zimmer, but... Two playoff wins in only 8 years. He's been there 8 years. He's got 2 playoff wins. I like the over more than anything else. Gun to my head, I generally lean towards Thursday night home teams, Joe. But I don't have a good feel because I do think Pittsburgh is the better team. But if Dalvin Cook can play, then I would go with the Vikings. But I think we'll get some points tonight.
Yeah, I'm with the over as well. 43.5 on FanDuel, minus 115 to the over. You want to take a shot on the under, minus 105. Remember last week, Dallas, New Orleans, dead under. When we come back, we'll get you prepared for week 14.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel kicking it around. We left off talking about Aaron Rodgers, Chicago, also touched on Pittsburgh and Minnesota. But Scott, when you look at just top ATS records in the NFL this year, I mean, you're dead on with Aaron Rodgers and the crew. 10-2 overall against the number. They're 83%, followed by Arizona at 9-3, Dallas at 9-3. Bill Belichick and the red-hot New England Patriots, 9-4, and Belichick was at the start of the year, just so you know, a 40-1 Coach of the Year candidate. He's running hot right now. But then the most surprising team, because they only have one win is Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. And I bring that up because they did get their first win of the year last week, 7.5-point underdogs at home. They are 8-4 against the number, which is basically 66%. And we talked about that game yesterday on the road against Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos. That line was basically 8 for much of the day. Now on FanDuel, a lot of money coming in on the Broncos in this matchup. You're going to get double digits with the Detroit Lions plus 10 on the road, and there's no news basically that I've seen. It's minus 110 either way. 42 and a hook is the total, juice to the under at minus 114. I don't care. You know what? I have more confidence in Detroit because they did get their first win. I don't think there's a letdown. They're basically on a heater in terms of the last four games. I mean, they've been knocking down that door against some of the top teams. Cleveland, Pittsburgh. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with Chicago. They went toe-to-toe with Minnesota. These were all teams that were fighting for a playoff berth, and they covered each and every one. We got a dead team in Denver that only put up 9 points against Kansas City and another coach that wants to run on every play in Vic Fangio. They might win, but there's no way they're winning by 10 points in this ballgame.
That is a weird line movement, right? I mean, 1.5, 8.5 to 10. The only thing I would say right now is wait until the end of the day. You know how these things are, Joe. The boys in Vegas know before the public knows. So maybe we hear that the golf's not playing for some particular reason. Maybe they know Swift isn't going to play again, although it didn't affect him last week, so you wouldn't think it would hurt him as much this week, right? You know, I would just, there's got to be a reason for, it's not betting. You know, there's not enough money bet on a game on a Wednesday that's going to push a line from 8.5 to 10. There has to be some news waiting to occur. Someone's got COVID, something. So I'd be a little leery on that because on the surface, you're right. I mean, who are the Broncos to be laying double digits to anybody? So, and you get the momentum of Detroit winning last week, so you know they're going to come in on a high, pardon the pun, right. Mile High Stadium. Otherwise, I got a feeling this time tomorrow we'll be saying, that's why I went to 10. Okay, I get it now.
Well, there is news, and it is interesting, because I love Teddy Bridgewater. Again, the guy wins. He's a gamer. All right. His attributes in terms of arm strength, maybe they're marginal, but I don't care. You know, you put the kid under center, he's going to give it 150%. It is interesting in the Detroit Free Press, he comes out and says that the Lions head coach, Dan Campbell, his speeches make you want to punch a guy in the face, which, does he want to punch Dan Campbell in the face, or does he say that, you know, Dan's awesome? And that's exactly what he said. Dan, he's awesome, Denver quarterback Teddy Bridgewater said. His energy is contagious, and I'm pretty sure those players in Detroit love playing for him. So it is intriguing that this is the matchup coming up this weekend, and we've seen a 1.5 move. We saw Teddy Bridgewater come off basically one of his worst performances of the year, the pick six to Sorensen, and he's given praise to the Detroit Lions. It's almost like you think he's rope-a-doping them a little bit, like Teddy B. Teddy B breaks out for 400 yards, or is he not starting this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of weird. Where are those two guys? You know, he was with Carolina last year.
And he was there, Teddy Bridgewater, right?
Yeah, but where was Campbell, though? With he's been with the Giants. Bridgewater wasn't there. Dallas, Bridgewater wasn't there. You know, Detroit and New Orleans, you know, Miami Dolphin as an assistant coach. New Orleans.
Well, it does say.
Where did these guys hook up?
It does say he was a guy, and this is Campbell talking about Bridgewater, he was a guy that on Saturdays would pull all of the young guys out. He was our backup quarterback, so he would take all the young guys, all of the practice squad guys, any of the backups, and he would take them out and go out with them, the whole game plan, and go over it with them. Runs, passing routes, talk with them, talk with the players, everything. So both of these Where? Head coach and player have a lot of admiration for each other. I do find it interesting because I have no admiration for Vic Fangio. I think he's old. I think he's one-dimensional. It's amazing that he's still a head coach in the NFL. And you could say the game plan was good on Sunday night. Why? Because you kept it within basically two scores? I mean, that's not good in today's NFL. You throw Vic Fangio, throw Joe Judge and Matt Nagy in a room, and you just let them sit there until they rot That's what I say, because they're old, they're one-dimensional, they're not with it in terms of the passing attack in the NFL today.
Yeah, okay, they were together with the Saints, so that's where it was. Okay, I'm trying to figure out where did these guys two, you know, hook up. It was with the Saints last year, so that's where he would know each other. Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't cause a 1.5-point line move, but I could see them, you know, him trying to sucker them in. It's very telling with Bridgewater and the Broncos. I mentioned these numbers before, Joe. In all their wins, no interceptions. In their losses, yep. He has 7 picks. 7 picks and 6 losses, none in the 6 wins. I mean, sometimes things just pretty simple in life, and that to me is it. You know, he couldn't throw the football last week. He didn't have a fighting chance in those conditions against Kansas City. So I almost can't blame him for that. But I do love the under. That I noticed dropped from 43 down to 42.5. Denver 10-2 under their last 12. Detroit 8-2 under their last 10. I don't see this is going to be a high-scoring game. To me, this has got 17-13 written all over.
Well, there is a report on Yahoo, and it came out, I think, late a day ago, or looks like last night, the Detroit Lions altered their practice schedule on Wednesday to try and eradicate a flu outbreak.
Uh-oh.
So, but we saw this. You see, this is the problem. We saw this with Michigan State and Penn State, right? With that line, remember,
yeah.
Kenneth Walker had the flu.
Yeah.
That line went from basically a pick 'em to Penn State 5.5-6, and what happened? Michigan State dominated that ball game from start to finish. So I'm not buying it until I'm buying it. Now, is it different on the NFL level? Possibly, because in college they don't have to give you the potential updates as the week progresses. But I still like Detroit. If you want to give me double digits with a team that basically wants to run the football and a pretty solid defense, I'll take my shot with Dan Campbell and the crew on the road.
Yeah, I would. I'm not going to lay the 10, but I think we have the perfect storm this week to make some money with the boys in Vegas. I really do. Three-team tease. We're going to use Kansas City, and this is a different combination, but we're going to use Kansas City basically to pick them against the Raiders. We're going to use Denver, basically pick them at home against Detroit. Detroit's not winning 2 in a row. We can use Seattle, getting a point or so at Houston. They're not losing to Houston, right? And then we're going to Green Bay laying 1.5 Sunday night against the Bears. There's no way they're losing to the Bears. You got 4 or 5 real good. Oh, and the Chargers, too, against the Giants. I don't care who's at wide receiver for the Chargers. They're not losing to the Giants with, Jake Fromm.
Jake Fromm.
Yeah,
I like the Chargers.
You could lower down to pick them.
You see, I don't like the Vegas. I don't like the Kansas City one. Pick them. Because I think Vegas could be a live dog. And I would tell you, I would tease it the other way, taking Vegas from +9.5 to 19.5. I feel very confident that Las Vegas would be within 3 scores, basically. I mean, 19.5 in terms of a tease that way?
Yeah, but can't you see maybe Kansas City exploding and then the Raiders laying an egg? I'd rather take my chances Kansas City doesn't lose at home.
Yeah, if that's the way you want to go, tease the over from 47.5 down to possibly 40, or if you could put it in more on a 10-pointer, take it down to 37.5. Both of those teams want to move the football, so we'll see how that plays out. When we come back, Baltimore-Cleveland next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Ripping through the action for week number 14, we left off talking about the battle in Mile High between the Broncos and Lions. Going to look at the matchup in the dog pound. These teams played a couple weeks ago with Baltimore pulling out that victory 16-10 as a 3.5, 4-point favorite at home on Monday night. Now, Ravens, after the loss to Pittsburgh, back-to-back road games, they're catching 2 points against Baker Mayfield and the Browns. I know you lean to the Browns in this ballgame, but I can't see it. They're the more complete team, in my opinion. Lamar Jackson, that rushing attack, love it or hate it. I still have more confidence in Lamar than I do Baker in that offense right now. They've lost their identity. I'm still going to lean to the under as well. It's juiced down, minus 114, under 43 on FanDuel. Give me the Ravens and under, Scotty, in this ballgame.
I am going complete opposite. I love the over. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game, and I do like the Browns. As we said yesterday, I think it's the ebb and flows of the season. I don't think Baltimore, they're probably the most flawed 8-14 that you'll ever see. So many close wins. Give them credit for winning those games, but boy, they could easily be under 500. That's how, you know, they had no business beating the Lions. They had no business beating the Colts on Monday night, rather. To me, they're an average football team, and over the course of now 17 games, that average will play itself out. And when it does, you lose games like this. Baltimore, they've had their issues with the Browns over the last couple of years anyway, with the Browns running game. I think Cleveland's going to pound away at them. And I think we're not going to get a shootout, mind you, I don't think. But I do think we're going to get some points. I'm not a big believer in that Ravens defense at all. So this is kind of like the do-or-die game for the Cleveland Browns fan. Coming off the bye, little soul-searching over the week, got a little healthy. Yeah, I like Cleveland a lot in the game.
Well, deeper question has to be Baker Mayfield. And he came out and he said that after the bye, he feels physically ready to go. He's only got 11 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, has a quarterback rating of 89.9 this year, a pedestrian 2,400 passing yards. If he doesn't step up, and let's just say they lose this ballgame, what are they doing with Baker, number one? And then, more importantly, if you look, I mean, do you turn to Case Keenum the rest of the year? I mean, if he throws a dud and this offense sputters and he only gets, let's say, 180 yards, a pedestrian 200 against the Ravens, do you look to pull him the rest of the way? I mean, what are we doing with this guy if he's just laying up right here? And maybe he is hurt, but at the end of the day, this offense needs to score some points if they're going to make any shot of a wild card.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said this is it. I really think even though mathematically they'd be in it, they need to win this game. They just have to after coming off a bye. You can't lose a game coming off a bye to an opponent like this that you should be able to win at home. I don't know. You know, between him and the Browns and Daniel Jones and the Giants, both have to decide. You want to pay these guys $35, $40 million because that's what the going rate is, right, for a quarterback. Whether they're really good or not, we can debate that. But that's what it's going to take for the Browns to re-sign Baker Mayfield. And I tell you, they were bad for so long, Joe, and I mean horribly bad, obviously. They've gotten themselves at least to purgatory here where they can go into a season having hope. They're probably going to re-sign this guy, and I don't see it. I know he is hurt. Give him credit for wanting to play, but I never saw it even before this year. I wouldn't do it, but you know how these GMs are. You know, it's why the Minnesota Vikings are giving Kirk Cousins $30, $35 million a year. A lot of mediocre quarterbacks are getting a ton of money just because they know that's going to keep that team competitive.
Yeah, they're 55. They're 55-1 on FanDuel to win the Super Bowl, which is, I know, a long shot. It would be a magical season if they can do that. But more importantly, if you think their backs are against the wall, right here, right now, to the yes to make the playoffs, plus 245, to the no, minus 320. I would say to the no, I don't think they make the playoffs. I haven't seen the same type of physicality with the offensive line. They can't run it at will when they have to. They couldn't run Chubb. I mean, last game, I mean, even though Baker was banged up, Nick Chubb, he had like basically 3 yards. And he was non-existent in that offense for much of that game on the road in Baltimore. I mean, like, this is a guy you signed him to an extension, right? You didn't utilize him at all in the first meeting. He's going to have a bigger part of this offense if they're gonna win and cover, obviously, 2 points. They got to win. But I mean, at the end of the day, if they're going to make the playoffs, you need your best player to carry the rock.
Yeah, I tell you, would you say 240 it was or 230 to make the postseason?
245 to make the postseason to the yes, minus 320 to the no on FanDuel.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't do no. Listen, you want to give me almost 2.5 to 1 for them to make? I mean, they're right there, right? It's 6-6. It's not like they got to leapfrog 12 teams. I mean, it is, you know, in their grasp of making the postseason. I would take that. I'd take a little flyer on that.
See, I don't have enough confidence in them. If they were pounding the rock and they were still wearing.
You know, they should be pounding the rock, but they just don't for some dopey reason.
Right, but the problem is, too, Scott, is that outside, let's say, the Baltimore game, they play down to the level of competition, Detroit, with Tim Boyle. They barely win that ball game, whether Baker Mayfield's hurt or not. I mean, they won that ball game by 3 points. That offense couldn't do jack against Cleveland's front seven. Tim Boyle threw for 77 yards, and you could only put up a 13 spot? The first meeting against Pittsburgh, you had 10 points up against the Steelers' defense that has given up points this year, right? I mean, think about the Steelers' teams that they have played. I mean, Las Vegas put up points against them. Other teams moved the football. Cincinnati put up a 41 spot on them. You couldn't get 20 points? You lose at home 15-10? I mean, think about some of the productive outputs that they have had throughout the season. That's why I say I can't buy into them. If they were running each and every week and they were still losing ball games, I say, okay, they'll find a way to gut it out. But that's why I wouldn't bet the no, but I lean to the no and say, and I don't feel confident betting plus 245 to make the playoffs. I'd be all in on some of the other teams. Now, what about Baltimore at 16-1?
Well, they do have a manageable schedule. They have a manageable schedule. You know, if they could beat the Ravens, they got the Raiders next week at Green Bay. They're not going to win that. At Pittsburgh and in Cincinnati. You know, it's there for them. They control their own destiny. And you want a conspiracy? I'll give you a conspiracy last week.
Yeah, give me. I love the conspiracies.
Next week, they got a Saturday game, nationally televised. Following week, they got a Saturday game, nationally televised. Following week, they got a Monday game, nationally televised. You think this you think the NFL wants this team to be 6-9 heading into some of these games, or do you think they need them to win this game to at least make them competitive?
So you're saying bet Cleveland the rest of the way for the regular season. That's it. Just pound
for a couple of games, yes, because they're going to be on national TV and they don't want a 6-10 Browns team on TV. They want
all right.
7-7
I can buy that
at least. So.
All right, I'll buy. Again, I'm not in love with the Ravens, but if I had to bet that game, I would take the points in that ballgame. But how about 16-1 right now on Lamar and this team to win the Super Bowl? You feel confident in that, pulling the trigger? They are behind a ton of teams. Tampa Bay, KC, New England, Arizona, Green Bay, Buffalo, the Rams, the Cowboys, and then the Ravens right there. Cowboys are 13-1. They're 16-1.
Wow. No, I don't believe in them at all. Lamar Jackson is being exposed for what we all knew and all criticized him for. He can't throw the football. I mean, you know, 13 interceptions. He's fumbled the football plenty of other times. He's a turnover waiting to happen. He really is. You're not going to get criticized. Chris Collinsworth, man, I've never seen a guy heap so much praise on a quarterback last Sunday night who's throwing four interceptions, for goodness sakes. Can't hit the broadside of the barn, and there's Collinsworth on TV telling us how great Lamar Jackson is. Jeez, Chris, which game are you watching here, for goodness sakes? No, I'm not in love with this Ravens team this year. I don't think their defense is any good, and they don't have any running backs whatsoever. They seem hesitant on using Jackson to run the football this year. You don't see the Lamar left, Lamar right like you did before. He's slowing down a little bit. He's committing turnovers. Nah, I don't see it this year for them.
Okay. All right. So that's fine. I mean, I just think out of both of those teams, I'm leaning to Baltimore. You have Cleveland the rest of the way. We'll see how it plays out. How about a team that everybody was hot on in the Tennessee Titans, right? When they knocked off the Buffalo Bills and they were one of the hottest teams in the NFL after that Sunday night performance against the LA Rams. They were hitting on all cylinders. Then they lose by a double-digit favorite to Houston. They followed up with another disappointing effort, and now they're only laying 8.5 against Jacksonville. But bigger picture, when you just look at the Super Bowl for this team fell off the grid, basically. They are 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. So bigger picture, Super Bowl, would you pull the trigger on Ryan Tannehill and the crew? And do you like them in this ball game against Jacksonville? I would say yes, because Trevor Lawrence is dead to me. I mean, 145 yards. He can't throw the football. I don't like the identity of this team. It's one thing to lose, but when you don't lose when you're trying to score, that's where I have an issue. Give me Tennessee in this matchup.
Yeah, I like Tennessee in the match. They're 10-2 straight up, 9-3 against the spread, Joe. Their last 12 meetings, and it's been Tennessee as a favorite like they are this week in that neighborhood anyway, so it's not been close games. So I think they're going to come out again after a bye. At this point of the year, I kind of like playing teams after a bye. I think it gets them rejuvenated a little bit. Unlike earlier in the year, I don't like playing teams after a bye, but this, you know, at this time I do. 8-4. I still think they got a nice little run, you know, because you're not getting Tennessee's A game. It's all based on, you know, do they get Julio Jones back 100%? Do they get A.J. Brown back 100%? And, you know, maybe, just maybe, they do get Derrick Henry back. So that 20+1 to win it, that I like on Tennessee.
Yeah, I do as well. When we come back, we'll break down Dallas. We'll break down New York Giants and some of the others. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Going around the horn for the Super Bowl odds, we just talked about Tennessee and Jacksonville in this weekend's matchup in Nashville. Tennessee is an 8.5-point favorite over Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence in that ballgame. Scott and I both like Tennessee to dominate that matchup. We talked about the 22-1 odds for Tennessee to potentially win the Super Bowl. Let's not forget, this team was on a 5-game heater, knocked off some of the best teams in the AFC and NFC, and then all of a sudden they fell off the grid. The lack of productivity in terms of the rushing attack without Derrick Henry is evident. They're a one-dimensional offense. Some injuries to A.J. Brown and Julio Jones have hurt Ryan Tannehill's production, 93 passing yards in the loss to New England. But this is a game to get right, right, Scott? I mean, I think they could bounce back. But look, bigger picture, long term, I mean, we've seen some of the teams in the AFC, even though Kansas City is playing as good as anyone right now, nobody could say that Kansas City is just going to win out and all of a sudden just hoist the title in the AFC this year.
No, but I tell you what, you know, they went from the favorites along with Buffalo to as high as 10-1, and now the favorites again. So, I mean, ultimately, Joe, when you take a full step back, I do give Tennessee a shot if they got healthy, right? But ultimately, when I look at that AFC, unlike the NFC, the Patriots had a nice little story, but I don't think they're Super Bowl bound. Buffalo clearly at 7-5 showing the world that they're not ready for that stage. I'm not a believer in Baltimore. I'd like to see Tennessee do it because that was my preseason prediction, but I don't know if those injuries are going to catch up to them or not. I mean, who's left? It's like Kansas City. Even though their offense has been pedestrian at best, their defense has been unbelievable. But, you know, when everything is said and done, when it's a postseason game, Kansas City versus pick anybody, Tennessee, Baltimore, New England, and Kansas City, you know, more than likely has that game at home. You don't think Kansas City's going to win? I mean, yeah. Who's going to beat them come playoff time in the AFC?
It's got to be a team that can obviously control the line of scrimmage, can run the football between the tackles, and does have a solid quarterback. That's why I still give it to Buffalo if they had to go in terms of road environment.
Run. They can't.
Josh Allen, though, is mobile. Yeah, but Josh Allen in that first meeting abused that defense. You know, I think when push comes to shove, I have more confidence in Buffalo being able to step up in a road environment than Ryan Tannehill and that offense. That's the biggest thing. I mean, the defense has been very impressive up until this point. You know, now over the last couple of weeks against New England and Houston, they haven't stepped up. But for the most part, I've been impressed with them when they did win those 5 games. The problem is that they are completely one-dimensional. And I don't have enough confidence in Tannehill, even though he stepped up in recent years to lead this team. The only other team that I think could potentially, if they get there, and they're a young team, yeah, it's tough, but I would say Cincinnati, just because I love Joe Burrow. He's a cool hand, quarterback, right? The stage is never too big for him. If Joe Mixon can run the football, I hate Zach Taylor, can't stand him. But at the end of the day, they're a balanced offense, right? They have the type of offense that you say if they had to go in terms of that element, I would give them a shot. Now, most likely it would be KC that wins that ballgame. But those are the only two teams. Lamar, he hasn't shown me anything in a big spot passing the football. Right? We don't know what he could do in the second half against Buffalo. Got knocked out with the concussion last year. I broke a 50-yard run in Nashville. That was what sealed the deal in that victory. Didn't really light the world on fire in terms of, you know, tossing touchdowns. It was a lower scoring game. That's it. I mean, I'm not buying into anybody else. I wouldn't buy into Carson Wentz or Indianapolis. I'm not a big believer of Cleveland. So... And I don't like Justin Herbert and L.A. I just don't. I think, you know, they're too inconsistent for me. I still think they're young. But if we're talking young teams, give me Cincinnati because I believe in Burrow more than I do Herbert and the West Coast mentality. But that's me. You know, as this season progresses, we'll figure it out. But how about this? Because an NFC team that I'm starting to like now, and I know they're just marginal, is Dak Prescott in Dallas. Now, they get the victory over New Orleans. They play Washington this weekend on the road. They're a four-point favorite. I think they win. I think they win this ballgame by double digits. But more importantly, at 13-1, to pull the trigger on them winning the Super Bowl right here, right now, I'm buying low with Mike McCarthy and the crew.
All right. A couple things there. One, as far as Burrow, leads the NFL in interceptions, 14. I love him as well. I think that team, if you want to buy futures, can a Super Bowl champ within the next 5 years, I would buy in on Cincinnati, but they're not ready this year. Burrow's proven that. Can't cover the spread in back-to-back games. Only twice in his career has he covered the spread back-to-back games, believe it or not.
Really?
Two, yeah, oddly enough, how about this? Burrow, Tannehill, Jackson, Mahomes, right? Cincinnati, okay, a little off, but Tennessee, Baltimore, Kansas City, three of the best teams in the AFC. Those are the top three guys, interceptions, in the NFL. Burrow, one, Tannehill, two, Jackson, three, Mahomes, four. So maybe throwing picks really doesn't matter because you got three good teams outside of New England there. Three, I don't know if you were watching the Cincinnati game at this point, Joe, as we flip both
the channels. I watched the whole game.
Okay, how about dopey Brandon Staley for the Chargers, right? He's down two, or he's up two. You know, they return the fumble from Mixon for a touchdown to go up eight in the fourth quarter, and this mope is deciding to go for two. It was like, are you – this is simple first-grade arithmetic. You go for the extra point to make it a nine-point game, which would be a two-score game. They had to call a timeout to figure out, no, coach, you don't go for two here. What are you doing? You go for one to go up two scores. I mean, these head coaches, they're bird brains. I swear to God, they're just absolutely brain dead when it comes to game management. Why in the world would you go for two in that spot, knowing if you kick the extra point, you have a two-score game in the fourth quarter? I mean, it's
like
just,
Paul
it's
Chris.
Stupid, so.
Chris with Army?
Oh, yeah, Pittsburgh. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, they score.
They go up 12. He kicks the extra point to go up 13. Army comes down, scores. They're up by six, and they almost got the onside kick. He wins by the skin of his teeth. I mean, they're all idiots. Let's be honest.
They really are.
They're idiots. They don't watch the game. Oh, I leave it to somebody else. You're getting paid an exorbitant amount of money to make these decisions. You're not relying on some analytical guy. You're not relying on your coordinator. You make that call. That falls on you, not your assistant.
And how dumb are you that you need someone else to tell you that you got to go for one here, coach, because this will make it a two-score game? I mean, we're not talking like three scores down the line. You know, if you do this, you do that. It's you go from an eight-point game to a nine-point game.
It's terrible.
What are you doing? How do these people get to be head coaches? I've told this to people, and it's true. Give me the average gambler and the average fan. He doesn't even have to be a gambler. The average pro football, college football fan, And he will know more about game minutiae than the head coach. And people laugh, no, you're just saying things. No, because you know why? Because the average fan is watching 16 games a week. He's watching another 15, 16 college football games. He's on Xbox. He's on NFL Madden. He's doing all these game scenarios. Whereas the dopey head coach, if he's looking at game film, he's not looking at game film for game management. He's looking at game film to scout players, right? He basically coaches one game a week, his own. Whereas all the fans and the gamblers, we're doing 30 games a week analyzing what should be done here, what should be done there. And that's why we're smarter than the coach.
Instead of Andy Reid coaching the Chiefs, it's Jerry Red. The gambler. Screw it. We're not going for two. Give me Comanche. Jerry, we haven't used that play in 46 years. Remember Al Pacino and any given Sunday? Nobody said we're going to win by a shutout. Comanche. Right? Yeah. Jerry Red coaching the team, you know, down from 86th Street in New York. He says, nah, I've seen this play out 1,000 times.
The Xbox, it works all the time. Don't worry about it, coach.
But what do you think about Dak? What do you think, big picture, about Dak in the NFC?
I hate him. Yeah, I'd just as soon go with Washington. I would that Cowboy team. No faith in them. No faith in them overcoming their deficits. You know, for me, I wouldn't have Zeke Elliott in the game. I'd be giving the ball to Tony Pollard 20 times a game. I don't see it with Zeke. I think he's done for whatever reason. And they don't know how to get the ball down the field, and they can't overcome the losses of their wide receivers. You know, in a perfect storm, Dallas is the team, but you don't have the perfect storm in the NFL. Don't have any faith in them. Not in that crazy NFC.
Do you have enough faith?
Green Bay. Yeah.
What are they? Their record right now is 8-4, right? They need to win four games. On the adjusted total for FanDuel, they have Dallas 11.5 under over, plus 100 to the over, minus 120 to the under. You biting on the under?
I would go under. They got to win four more games, four out of their last five. That's what they're telling you?
That's plus 100 to the over. FanDuel's they're dangling the carrot, Scotty. You biting?
They are.
Banjo Minnow.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the schedule's not difficult, but it's the NFC East, and I'm not separating them from from Washington twice. Arizona is on there, albeit at home. Philadelphia and then the Giants.
Okay.
You know, so it's five winnable games with the Arizona game being at home. But if you're telling me they have to go 4-1, I could see them stubbing their toes a couple of times. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm buying them. I actually like the over 11.5. I like them at 13-1 to potentially be a Super Bowl contender. As long as Dak is healthy, I think they have a shot. I like Micah Parsons, love Trayvon Diggs. And I'm not sold on Washington, even though they're playing well. I love Taylor Heineke, but I still think the class of the division is the Dallas Cowboys. And I do agree with you. Let Tony Pollard carry this team. It's like they have to give Zeke carries, but Tony Pollard is the more consistent running back. Not just in the run game, but in the short to intermediate passing game as well. The kid could take it to the house anytime he touches the football. So, you know, durability would be a concern. Obviously, body frame, I get it. But at the end of the day, he's a proven commodity for that offense. Let me ask you this, because we talked about yesterday about L.A. and the New York Giants with Jake Fromm, right? And we talked about the total, which is basically 44.5, and we said that's a pretty high total for a New York Giant game. Now with Keenan Allen out, most likely, Mike Williams on the COVID list, it's down to 43. But I got to be honest, they're going to entice me because I'm on the over here. I do like this total in L.A. Sunday.
They are tempting you to go under, right? I mean, you would think without their two best wide receivers, if that's the case, and the Giants with a third-string quarterback who hasn't had a down in the NFL, I mean, it is you wonder why that's not in the high 30s, right? I mean, it was 39 with the Dolphins, so don't say it can't get into the 30s, Scott. I mean, it was 39.5 with Miami last week for the Giants, and the thing went under. So why is it only – you know, why is it 43? And I would have thought that would have come down a little bit more into the 41.5, 42.5. So they still think the Chargers are going to score some points.
I know. Not only that, we talked about highest scoring team, right? Yesterday, they were 10-1 before the news. They're still 10-1, third best team, L.A., behind Kansas City and Tampa Bay for week 14 on Sunday only. I mean, it hasn't budged. Yeah. But the total's budged.
I'll tell you what, if you want to play some fantasy stuff or just, you know, props, I'll say, you know, without those two guys, it's going to be Eckler left, Eckler right, Eckler center, Eckler. He's going to have, you watch, he's going to have a monster day for the Chargers.
Remember, Eckler did have four touchdowns in the four-point win over the Pittsburgh Steelers that Sunday night a few weeks ago. That might be a way to go in this ballgame if Allen and Williams don't play. When we come back, we'll wrap it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping up today's show, and we're going to go through every game on tomorrow's show, get you locked and ready for this coming weekend. But one matchup we really haven't broken down is Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, taking on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Tampa Bay -3 on FanDuel. Total set at 53.5, Scotty. I believe this line was like 51.5, 52. It's pretty high. I know two solid offenses, but at the end of the day, I'm going to take the under, and I'm going to bounce back with Buffalo in a big way. I think they get it done against Touchdown Tommy this weekend.
I'm surprised the Bills are getting this much respect. You know, only getting or getting three. You know, the way they played this year, 7-5. I would have thought this would have been a 4.5 or so line, maybe even 5. I mean, gee, the Bills looked awful. I mean, just awful. But they keep on thinking they're going to bounce back. They have. I will say that after their bad losses this year. But, you know, they step up in class here. It's one thing to bounce back against the Jets. It's another thing against Tampa Bay. 30 or more points in 9 straight home games for the Bucks. So even though that 50 and change is tempting to go under, I can't do that because of that. Tampa Bay 8-1 against the spread last 9 home games. Boy, I love Tampa Bay. You're giving me that team basically a pick 'em against a Bills, a floundering team. This is a respect line. You know, they respect Buffalo, the expectations of the Bills and everything else, but I will gladly take 9-3 Tampa Bay, laying only 3 at home.
All right, bigger question. Buffalo loses. Are they cooked? They're -440 to make the playoffs, +320 to the no. Would you take a shot?
Wow. They got to fall quite a ways, but knowing they lose the tiebreaker against Tennessee, they lose the tiebreaker against Pittsburgh, they lose the tiebreaker against Indianapolis, that's, you know, it's worth a shot. Carolina, New England again, Atlanta, Jets. Their schedule's easy. They'd have to really fall flat on their face. But, yeah, I would take a crack at it. Why not?
For Scott Wetzel, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow breaking down every game for Week 14. Have a great week, everyone.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.